So we're blessed to live in such a beautiful land as ours. Amen. Thank God that we get to live here in the land of the free. And I don't know about you, but I'm determined to keep America free. Amen. And we know that God is the one that can do that. And you and I are to stand in the gap on behalf of our nation, our leaders, and pray for His perfect will to be done. Again, this where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it's in the areas where we decide to not allow God access, or we decide to disobey Him. Now, those are the places where the enemy can keep you bound up. And how many know the devil hates you? But Jesus loves you and He wants to do good for you. Amen. But you got to give Him permission, because He's not going to kick the door down. He stands and He knocks. Amen. If you're hearing His voice, open the door, because God wants His people to walk in complete freedom, complete liberty. Amen. From the bondage of sin. Amen. And Jesus came to set us free. And He wants people to be released from the prison. Amen. Of the bondage that sin has put us in. And the clutch of Satan. Amen. He's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. So we're supposed to walk in the light now, because in Christ we are the children of light. Amen. So we're not to give the devil permission in any area of our lives, because it's those little things that we compromise with that we allow the devil to have permission in our lives through, you see. God wants His people to be bold as a lion, amen? Somebody go roar. Roar. So the righteous are as bold as a lion. When your heart is right with God and you're filled with His Spirit, then you have a supernatural confidence. You have a supernatural boldness. You can be a witness for Jesus when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so this gospel is a gospel of power. It's not just an intellectual gospel, but it's a gospel of power. And God has given unto us through His Son, amen, in the impartation of the Holy Ghost, amen, the Spirit of power and of boldness, the Spirit of truth and love, amen. So God wants His people to be endued with power from on high. And how many know that in the Old Testament, before the glory of God would come into the temple, the temple had to be what? Cleansed, right? They had to be anointed with what? Blood and oil. Amen? So you and I need to be washed in the blood of Jesus, amen? And we need to receive the oil, amen? But you understand that if we do not allow God to have His way with us, then again, He's just not going to push Himself upon us. The Lord will come where He's invited, where He's welcomed. And He's not going to dwell, if you will, in an unclean temple. But He wants us to give Him full permission to come into every area of our lives. Everything. We need to give everything over to God and allow Him full access to every part of us. You see, God gives you the choice to decide who you're going to serve. Amen? So He wants us to give Him full access, all right, to us. Because if you hold back on Him, then He's just going to allow you to have your way there. And you're going to give permission for the enemy to continue in that area. Because evil is anywhere where God is not. Where the Spirit of the Lord is not, it's chaotic. Amen? It's dark. And so God wants to fully possess us. But there's a devil who's looking for permission also to possess human beings. And he'll do that through compromise, through you and I playing or dabbling with sin. And so God wants to fully possess His people. When you are fully possessed by God, the Holy Spirit, then you have a supernatural confidence, a supernatural boldness, because you are righteous only in His righteousness, right? And He makes us righteous. Therefore, when we're righteous in Him, we have boldness, because the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. So the only way that I can do what I'm called to do is by the power of God. People have learned how to do church, you know. But there's no power in that unless the Holy Spirit is at work. But the Lord's not going to work, amen, in a vessel that's in compromise. That's not obedient. Come on, somebody. God gives His Holy Spirit to those who are obedient. I'll say it again. God gives His Holy Spirit to those who are obedient. And if you're faithful in little, He can make you ruler of much, but you've got to be faithful with what He's already given you. Start practicing. Start doing, amen, what God has shown you to do. It doesn't have to be a big, lofty thing. It just needs to be a step of obedience in some area of your life. It may be as simple as waking up and by the prompting of the Holy Spirit and praying for somebody because God's put somebody on your heart. It could be simply to go to somebody in the store, amen, and talk to them about Jesus or to pray for them, ask them if they need prayer. Being prompted, being led by the Holy Spirit, this is what it's about. Otherwise, we can just come up with our own idea of how we're going to serve God. And how many know about my idea of serving God is no good? How many know there's no reward in serving God my way? That's what the Bible calls wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be burned up in that day, amen? But what we do in obedience to the voice of God will endure forever. It'll last. It'll be a treasure in heaven that'll never fade or perish. So God wants His people to be endued with power from on high. And guys, this message gets lost sometimes. You know, it's this, again, this is not an intellectual gospel. It's not just about getting more information. It's about applying and living out the information we receive. Amen? We have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So let's look at this first verse here. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Jesus is saying that there's coming a day. And it's called, referred to as the day of the Lord or the day of God's wrath. And Jesus said, as a snare, it would come upon all who dwell on the earth at that time. He said, but take heed to yourselves. Pay attention. Wake up. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. Verse 35. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The only way that we are qualified to be in His presence is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We must be cleansed, washed in the blood. Amen? And God will anoint that which He appoints, okay? If God has cleansed you, amen, then in that area of your life where you are repentant, amen, towards Him, then God can possess you there because He's not going to dwell, okay, in those places where you forbid Him to be. We are a complex people, aren't we? I mean, everybody's a little bit different, right? We all have our complexities, our talents, our abilities. And our lives can be likened to a house with many rooms, you know. We've got closets and basement and attic and all kinds of, in the main room, amen. Which might be, I don't know if we're a lady, it might be the kitchen, the heart of the house, right? Or the living room, if it's a guy, right? In front of the TV, no, I'm just kidding. But we're like that house, you know, and the... Every room, okay, needs to be occupied. And the enemy, again, is looking for emptiness. He's looking for voids. He's looking for places of access to get into our lives. All right? And that's why it's so important that we are fully yielding to the Lord and allow Him to fill every part of us, giving Him permission in every area, and not resisting His voice when He's warning us about something or telling us to change something. And in other words, if we want to receive God's Holy Spirit, we've got to be obedient to what He's telling us to do. And that's how it works, guys. There are people who are pursuing and seeking power, but not holiness. Are you hearing me, somebody? There are a lot of people that are running around looking for power, looking for somebody to lay hands on them and impart some power to them or whatever. But their heart is not in the position to receive the authentic power of God. As a matter of fact, if you're in rebellion, you're a magnet for the enemy. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So we got to be in a place where we're right with God, first of all, so that He has a place to dwell. But we don't want just power. We need, first, we need holiness. We need to be pure. Amen. A pure vessel that God will inhabit, that God will possess. Amen. And when you are fully possessed by the Holy Spirit, you will have a confidence that is supernatural. You'll have an assurance that is supernatural. You'll have a peace that passes all understanding. You'll have a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You'll have a love, a perfect love, amen, that casts out all fear. Hallelujah. When we're filled with God, we're filled with love. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom from fear. Freedom from shame. Freedom from guilt. See, the enemy wants us to compromise. So he has legal permission to throw guilt on you. Shame on you. Ever heard that? Shame on you. Because when we're in a place of guilt or shame, we're not going to have confidence towards God. God doesn't want His people living in guilt or shame. He's already settled that at the cross. Amen? He's already paid that for that in full at the cross with His own precious blood. So we can be forgiven, we can be cleansed, and we can be fully possessed by the Spirit of the Lord. So there is coming a day of darkness. You know, it's called the day of the Lord. And I believe that the church has not been appointed to that day of wrath, but we are to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told us to watch, to be watchful, to be prayerful, amen, that we may escape all these things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:10 that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So no matter how much you love this present world, how many know that it's not going to be forever? As much as you may love your stuff, understand that your stuff is only temporary, right? How many here have lived a few years and you've seen a lot of stuff come and go, right? So when it was brand new and shiny, you're like, man, this is great, you know, but then a few years later, where is it? I think it's in the attic somewhere, or it's on the trash heap somewhere, right? And that's just the way it is. It's only here for the using. It's temporary, amen? But we're not supposed to be putting our affections, amen, in temporary things, but in things above. Amen? We should be living for eternity, living as unto the Lord, because knowing that here we have no continuing city. But we're looking for one that's coming. Hallelujah. And the Lord has said that He's going to make all things new. Now, according to the prophet Malachi, he said the prophet Elijah would be sent before the coming of Messiah. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, he said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." The great and dreadful day of the Lord has not occurred yet. Can you say amen? Amen. So he's going to send Elijah the prophet before that happens. Now, what happened when John the Baptist came on the scene? What did Jesus say about him? Well, Jesus hinted that Elijah was going to return a second time in the future to restore all things. But he also referred to Elijah, or to John the Baptist, as also being Elijah. So look at this. Matthew 17:11. Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things." That has not happened yet. Can you say amen? "But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished." He was referring to John the Baptist. So he's mentioning two returns of Elijah. One that had come as his predecessor, and one, I believe, the spirit of Elijah that will be before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That there will be a second coming of Elijah. Now, what was the spirit of Elijah? The spirit of Elijah was a prophetic mantle, was it not? And the spirit of Elijah was a spirit of power and of boldness. Amen. And God, I believe, wants His people to be baptized with His power so that we can be bold. Amen. For Him. So that we can stand and be strong, especially in these days. How many would agree with me that we're no match for everything that's happening right now without the Lord? I mean, people are losing their minds, literally, because of the things that they're seeing and the things that they're experiencing. And I believe that things are going to heat up even more than they are now. But what are we going to do? Are we going to be fearful, or are we going to draw near to God? Amen. And in Him, there's perfect peace, isn't there? In Him, there's a perfect love. In Him, there's no fear. There's a supernatural confidence that comes when we are close to God. Amen. So why was Elijah sent? Again, he was sent to preach repentance from idolatry and for the people to return to the true living God. And during the time of Elijah, almost the entire nation of Israel had backslidden, and they began worshiping Baal. And do we not see a resurgence of Baal worship today? Not only in America, but around the world. And the showdown on Mount Carmel, I want to just quickly read through this foundationally. 1 Kings 18:29, and when midday was past, they, meaning the prophets of Baal, prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." How many know he has to be hearing from God to do this, right? Then he said, "Do it a second time." And he did a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." They did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass all the time, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," or Israel, "let it be what? Known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." You see, Elijah just didn't do things off the cuff as he thought it would be a good idea. Elijah wasn't there to put on a show to perform, amen? He was there to obey and do the will of God. So what's going on here? He says, "Lord, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." How many know that God will confirm his word with accompanying signs? God will manifest himself, amen, and reveal himself through his word. Hallelujah. But he needs somebody to act upon his word, somebody to be faithful to obey his word, and in order for God to move. Amen. The Holy Spirit moves in agreement with the word of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't have his own agenda. Amen. He moves perfectly in agreement with the word of God. In verse 37, he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." So what do we see here? We see the Lord demonstrating in an irrefutable way that he was the true God. Today, again, in America, we are witnessing a resurgence of Baal worship in our entertainment industry, in our professional sports, certainly in Hollywood, right? In the music industry. And they're not even trying to hide it anymore. And for years now, they've been grooming our children through cartoons, books, educational system, video games, yoga. Yes, yoga. They have been attempting to normalize Satanism and witchcraft. All you got to do is go through the bookstores, amen, and look what's on the shelf, especially for the young people, the young adults. It's all satanic. All satanic. Almost all of it. But this didn't happen overnight. This was a long process of time. They've been working, grooming the children. It started out with the Cartoon Network and through these books and parents neglecting to teach your children, by the way, too. Especially Christian parents. How many know we're responsible for our children to raise them in the way of the Lord? The church can do something, but they can't do it all. So many in America are being deceived today. Many people are blind because the devil blinds people. And you and I are not able to see clearly unless the Holy Spirit helps us to see. And we need to be pure in order to have discernment, clarity, to know what is of God and what is not. So if we're in compromise with sin in our lives, then we're going to be at least partially blind. And we're going to be a target for the enemy, okay? So we need purity, amen, so that God can fill us and give us clarity of sight, so we can discern between right and wrong, what is of God and what is not. But because of compromise and because of sin, even in the church, so many are blind. They're not even aware of how much the enemy has already got a grip on them or their children. But because of Elijah's faith, he was successful in causing the Israelites to acknowledge the Lord as a true God and Baal as a counterfeit. Now, what we're seeing is, again, another confrontation. How many would agree that we're in a confrontation right now? We're in a spiritual war. Amen? We're on the winning side, by the way. And Jesus has gone before us. He's overcome the world. Amen? But he did say in the world we would have tribulation. Why? Because of the battle that rages around us. Now, when all the people saw it, again, verse 39, they saw what? The miracles of God. They saw the demonstration of God's power. When they saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." Now, God revealed Himself through a visible demonstration of His power in plain view of all. Now, listen to me. I believe that we, as God's people, are to walk in the supernatural. This is more than just gleaning information so that we can look smart about how much we know, how much Bible we know. But God wants you and I to demonstrate, amen, who He is to a lost world around us. First of all, by the way that we conduct ourselves, that the way we carry ourselves, because we're relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit to control ourselves and behave ourselves in the sight of those who don't know God. First of all, amen, we need to live right. Can you say amen? Amen. And when these people see and look at our lives and say, "Now that's a follower of Jesus." Amen. And then when God wants to maybe use you in some form or another, such as maybe laying hands on someone to heal them. Amen. And then they're going to know that He's the true God. When a demon comes out of somebody, amen, by the power of God, we know that Jesus is Lord, that He's raised from the dead. Amen. And that the demons are subject to us in His name. Amen. And there needs to be a demonstration of the Spirit of power through God's people. It's more than just intellectual gaining of knowledge. It's so that we may understand God's heart, His ways, so we may commit ourselves to walk with Him in the Spirit and be available for Him to work through us, amen, in the world around us. God wants to demonstrate who He is. God wants to destroy the works of the devil. God wants to set captives free. God wants to heal people. God wants to save people. Can you say amen? And He's looking for somebody that's going to believe Him and stand up and say, "Lord, I'll go with You. Here am I. Send me." He's looking for somebody like Peter who will get out of the boat. If Jesus is on the water, say, "Lord, I'm going to meet You there." That's where you're at. That's where it happens. Hallelujah. How many know God said He would be wherever He told you to be? So if you're following Him, amen, He's going to be with you. We as a church are to proclaim the kingdom of God as Elijah did, in boldness and power. And I'm going to prove to you through the scriptures that that is the case. Because we can look back and say, "Well, that was Elijah, or that was Moses, or that was David." No, they were just people. Can you say amen? And God chooses people to do His will. Hallelujah. And He's not a respecter of persons. He's just looking for an available person. Somebody say, "Here am I, Lord." Amen. In Luke 24, verse 46, "Then He said to them," He's talking about the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to His disciples. "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Do you understand verse 47? That he said repentance and remission of sins, they go together. Amen. You have to have a repentant heart, amen, in order to receive the mercy of God. Amen. God will give his grace to the humble, but he will resist the proud, those who refuse to bow. But I will send the promise, he said, of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And in other words, don't go running out and doing anything until you first receive this power from me. Amen. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Why? Because the power of God gives us boldness. Amen. And we become bold as a lion. Amen. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Where the love of God is, there's no fear. Amen. So God wants his people to walk in a confident assurance that comes from him by his grace so that we can demonstrate to the world around, amen, that we are God's children, that we are his people, and that we are representing him in the world. The early church prayed for boldness. How many know it wasn't just in Acts chapter 2? But they had to get back together and have prayer meeting, amen, and pray that God would refill them again. In Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what? They spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you need boldness in your life? You just need more God, that's all. Amen. And you're going to have as much as you want, but you're going to have to give up you in order to have him. You're going to have to yield, give permission to the Lord to have you. Amen. You know, some people, they just like kind of an outer court experience. They like to splash around in the kiddie pool. They sample a little. They come on Sunday morning, they get a little sample of that. And oh, it's good. I got some goosebumps. And they all go on their way. And they live defeated the rest of the week. But God said, I want you to jump into the deep end. I want you to go all the way. Amen. Get immersed in me, in my presence. Hallelujah. And you'll go in the power of my Spirit. Hallelujah. And you will walk in victory. You'll have trials. You'll have difficulties. You'll have temptations. But you'll have the power of God in your life. And the people around you are going to know there's something different about you. You're not like everybody else around you. You're able to control yourself where other people are falling apart. You've got victory. Amen. And it's by the power of God. It's by the Spirit of the Lord and not because you just have a strong will. How many know even people with strong wills can faint too? Isn't that Isaiah 40 say, even the youth will get weary and faint, right? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. The Apostle Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in dunamis, power. Same word we saw in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive dunamis, dynamic work and power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So he said the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. Now we receive the word, the truth. Amen. And the word actually cleanses. Amen. You are washed because of my word, Jesus said. So when we receive the word and the gospel of our salvation, we receive a cleansing. Amen. Through the word. And when we cooperate with God in obedience to his word, then we are giving God a place in us then to possess. All right. And so God again is going to dwell in a clean temple and a person that's repentant in their hearts. Amen. And willing to cooperate with God. But he just doesn't push the door down and occupy. Amen. Now the devil's looking to do that. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, in my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Some people are pretty good at persuading people, all right, just because they're charismatic or influential and they know how to manipulate emotions. How many know you can manipulate somebody's emotions to do something and it may not have anything to do with God? How many know you can have an altar call, but God may not be in it? Because some people have learned how to control people through their emotions. Yeah. Some people are pretty good at getting people to give their money by manipulating them and their emotions. How many know we need to let God build the house? Amen. We need to let him do it his way. We're going to cooperate with God. If we obey him, God will take care of us. He'll take care of our needs. It's possible that, I mean, people are doing church without God. You know, we call it playing church. We learned how to play church. Amen. There's no life. There's no life. There's no power. There's no change. There's no transformation of hearts and lives. People are just stagnant and stale and dead and not even aware they're dead. Until, amen, the Spirit of God gets a hold of them through the Word of God and begins to resurrect them again. But if they're not getting the true Word of the Lord, they're not going to get resurrected out of that deadness. It was like Laodicea. They didn't know they were dead until God said they were dead. He revealed to them that they were dead. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit will convict us and give us an attitude adjustment and set things in order. God needs to recalibrate us sometimes, you know. We need to get back to the place where we once walked, where the Lord was our all in all. But Paul was saying, guys, I didn't come to you with these persuasive words of human wisdom, you know, not in eloquence of speech, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Because verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Faith in the power of God. Faith in the ability of God. Faith in God Himself. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we can just go by our own human ability. There are some very charismatic individuals. God gives charisma to people naturally that are very influential and they can persuade great crowds of people, you know. But God's not in that. James said in chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I love that. That means I have hope. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Why is it that much of the church today does not proclaim the kingdom of God to the lost in this way? Could it be that we're not truly living by faith? Question. Are we afraid that the God of Elijah will not answer with fire after we pray? Or could it be the risk of public embarrassment is too great? The risk of public embarrassment is too great. We don't want to step out because what if God doesn't meet us when we step out for Him? If God is telling you to do something, He's going to be there. He's going to meet you. He's going to confirm His word. Amen? So if you are full of the Holy Spirit and you, your heart is pure, you'll have clarity, you'll be able to distinguish His voice from the other voices, and when you know God is speaking to you, then all you need to do is step out in obedience to His voice, and God will manifest Himself, reveal Himself in that word that He's given you. Why? God always confirms His word with accompanying signs. He confirms His word with salvation, with healing, with deliverance, with reconciliation, amen? Restoration. Because the Word of God is powerful, amen. And the Holy Spirit works in concert together, in harmony with the Word of God. So what we need is faith to say, but God said, and God always answers and always confirms His Word. Now my responsibility is to get over myself. You see, because we're without realizing it, sometimes we are so just dependent on us. Then when we're called to do something that's beyond us, we're just freaking out. And so God wants us to practice moving beyond ourselves into the realm of the supernatural where He's operating by His Holy Spirit. Amen. So that God will confirm His word that He sent to us. People need to see the reality. We are called to bear witness to the resurrection. We are resurrected people. Can you say amen? We're new creations in Christ. That in itself is a witness to the world. When people that knew me before and now they see me now, they say, wow, it has to be God, you know? But we want to be a witness for Jesus. We want to bear fruit for Jesus. And the fruit that God accepts is the fruit of His Spirit. So we need to be people of His presence. We need to be, if you will, gluttons for the glory. Amen. We want to just soak in and receive God. But again, He's not going to fill you if you're not cooperating with Him. Repentance and remission of sins, forgiveness, cleansing. Amen. So then we become available for God to do what? Fill us. And when we're filled with His presence, we have a supernatural, confident assurance. Amen. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Not just hearing it, but hearing the Word of God. Amen. Receiving the Word of God. Hallelujah. Believing the Word of God. Hallelujah. So guys, we got to get over ourselves. I say it all the time. I got to get over me. I got to do myself a favor. Get over me. Because I want God to use me. How about you? Now some of you are saying, well, the thought of doing this or doing that scares me. What does that mean? It means that's a void in your life. Where there's fear, there's a void. Are you hearing me? So you kind of have to give that to God too. You're going to have to give Him access. You're going to have to let go of that thing. You're going to have to step on that thing. Why? Because fear, amen, is something that can hinder you, but it can also be a tool you can use for good. So you remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the mastery over fear. It's control over fear. Amen. So you may be fearful, but be of good courage, He told Joshua, right? Because I'm going to be with you everywhere I go. That's all you need to know, Joshua. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go. Every place the soles of your feet have trod, I'll give to you. So you're going to have to be courageous, because there's going to be times when you're going to feel fear come on you. But when you take courage, the Lord strengthens your heart. That's how it works. Do you want to be strong in the Lord? Start being courageous. Start taking steps. Start stepping out of your comfort zone, out of the place of your little box and your little bubble of insecurity. Amen. Step out for Jesus and watch what happens. And again, that fear is coming in and saying, oh, you don't want to do that because you're going to, you may look foolish. You may get over you. Get over the opinions of men. Say, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish today? Sadly, there are some in the church today who teach that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. That they ended with the writing of the New Testament canon. I'm not going to get into that today, but that's not true. Somebody say amen. Amen. And others are too afraid of offending people, so they don't allow the Holy Spirit to operate in their churches. Well, what will happen if we offend the Joneses? They don't like all that stuff, that charismatic stuff, that speaking in tongues and praying for the sick and casting out demons. Oh, we might offend somebody. And I would rather offend man than God. Amen. For some, church growth is more important than obedience to the will of God. What are signs and wonders for? Well, they're to point to something. You've got a road sign, it's supposed to point you somewhere or give you some instruction, right? Some direction. So they're supposed to point people to Christ, to the Lord. Amen. And not to us. Now, we don't seek after signs and wonders, but we should expect signs and wonders as a normal course of our Christian experience. Why? Because signs and wonders were a part of the early church. Mark 16:19. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, His disciples, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. God will confirm His word. And some people will say, well, that was just for the 12 apostles. Remember in Matthew 28, remember when He gave the commission? He says, teach them to observe everything I taught you. So Jesus taught His disciples, and He says, now I want you to go and teach others to do the same thing I taught you to do. And what did they do? Well, look at the life of the disciples, amen? That's what we're supposed to be learning how to do too. We're supposed to be reproducing. Hallelujah. We've got to be like Elisha. We just got to pick up that mantle and strike the water and say, where is the God of Elijah? And watch, if you feel an unction of the Lord, I've heard many people, and I've been there before, but I've heard many people say, you know, I really felt like I had a word that I was supposed to give last Sunday, or, you know, and I just kind of held back on it because I wasn't really quite sure or if it was appropriate, or, and they kind of went around as this circle of you know, not quite sure or knowing for sure, and so all of a sudden somebody else gives the same word. God says, well, if you're not going to listen, I'll find somebody else, amen. In fact, we had something like that go on Wednesday, didn't we? Yeah, it was a word for you, and then Yolanda confirmed that God was saying the same thing. But it was just how it works. God wants us to be about His business, cooperating with Him, walking with Him, being responsive to Him. We just got to get over, guys, that part of us that has to be accepted by man. Is that making sense? Because if I'm too self-conscious, then I will end up compromising God's will. If I'm too concerned about what people think, then I'm not going to do what God says for fear of rejection. But when we get over ourselves, we say, well, they're not really rejecting me anyways. They're only rejecting the Lord. And I'm a servant of the Lord. And I'm representing Him here. So if I get rejected, amen, Jesus said, leap for joy in that day. Amen. If you get persecuted, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. Somebody say amen. But the Lord worked with the early church, you know, confirming His word through the accompanying signs. So, just like on Mount Carmel, people believed on Jesus when they witnessed the miracles that He did. In John 2:23, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in His name, that is in Jesus, when they saw the signs which He did. Look at Stephen, Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Philip, Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. It got their attention. Amen? Especially if you're going into a place where that's never received the gospel. Amen. And they're used to worshiping demons or devils, you know, and all of a sudden God shows up. Amen. And somebody gets delivered or a miracle happens. Well, maybe their witch doctor was trying to cure that person, couldn't do it. Jesus shows up, takes care of business. And they say, now we got somebody greater on the scene now. We know who the true God is now. That's how it works, guys. There needs to be a confrontation in the spirit to where we demonstrate that God is who He says He is, and He can do what He said He would do. Amen. And that God is greater in me than he that's in the world. Amen. And that in His name I can cast out demons because God told me to. Amen. Because God will accompany His word. He will confirm His word with accompanying signs or signs following. So we need to be demonstrating. I believe there's a requirement for it. And you and I, if we are walking in the Spirit, if we're walking by faith, we will have testimonies. We will have fruit. We will have evidence of that faith. How many? It's not a blind faith. It's not superstition. But our faith is genuine because there's evidence of God's work in our hearts, in our lives, and through us. And so we got to get over the hurdle, that giant of fear. Amen. And if you're full of God, amen, your heart is right with God, you're full of the Holy Spirit, you will have confidence, you'll have boldness, the ability to speak up for Jesus. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter. Well, you may say, well, I'm a quiet, I'm a shy person. Well, so am I. Yeah. Am I right, Bruce? But by the Spirit of the Lord, I can do what He's told me to do. And then people know it's got to be somebody else, amen, working. You understand? Guys, don't use your own qualifications to make excuses for what God's called you to do. Don't use your own qualifications to make excuses for not doing what God called you to do. Why? Because if God calls you to do something, He's going to supply the grace, the power for you to accomplish it. Amen. All He's looking for is someone to say yes and step out for Him. And He will confirm His word. Hallelujah. You'll get excited when you start to step into this, when you start to walk out in faith based upon what you sense the Lord doing in your life, and you start practicing this. You start praying for the sick. Amen. Look for an opportunity. Well, I know a good doctor down the road. Yeah, well, why don't we just take care of it right here and right now? Let's talk to Jesus about it. Amen. Once you start seeing and you start experiencing God working through your life, you get excited. You're like, well, God would choose to use me. I get to do this. I get to partner with Jesus in His mission. Amen. I tell you what, a lot of times it's just plain fun. It can be crazy, yeah. But, I don't know, it's exciting. The Christian life is really an adventure. It's not boring or stale. People that think the Christian life is boring or stale are not living out the Christian life. If you're just sitting and listening, and if you would say sitting, soaking and souring, well, yeah, it will be boring to you. But if you start receiving and start functioning according to it, amen, living according to the word, practicing what you've heard, then you'll see that God does confirm His word with the accompanying signs. And it's not boring. Teenagers, children can get on fire for God. They start to experience the power of God in their life and see God using them to reach out to their peers. Even speak to their parents sometimes. Mm-hmm. Somebody say amen. God has given certain gifts to the body of Christ. You know, we don't have time to go into it, but there's really three categories. There's motivational, ministerial, and manifestation gifts. But when it comes to the lost, we are to declare the kingdom of God. We are to declare that Jesus is Lord. Because God wants to reveal Himself to lost humanity as the true living God. So He sends us out to preach the gospel, to share our testimony, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. When we do these things, we are fulfilling the great commission of our Lord and bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure, what? In earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Very important that we get that right. Amen. And we humble ourselves and realize it's going to be God doing the work and not us. We're working with God. Amen. We're working together with God, but it's going to have to be God doing the miracle. Amen. The work. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, but our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, dunamis, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. So we need the same power that was on Elijah, the spirit of boldness, of power, and of love. And you don't intellectually debate people into the kingdom, I'm sorry. You'll have people that are educated but not saved. How many know what I'm talking about? You have people that have a good biblical education, but they're not saved. There's no fruit. It's not enough just to be a hearer of the word, but we have to be doers of the word. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. It's not about just winning a debate. I'm all for apologetics. I think they're important. But if we miss Jesus and all of that, what's the point? If it's just about winning the argument so that you look good, who are you really trying to make look good anyways, right? We want God to look good. So we have the power of God available to us today by the Holy Spirit to confirm His word. Now, most of us here understand this. You understand what I'm saying to you. You've heard it before. But guys, we need to be reminded of what this true, normal Christian life is supposed to look like. That in order for us to accomplish the will of God, it's going to require the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to require someone who's going to rely upon God and step out in His name to do the will that God has called you to do. Because apart from Him, let's face it, you can't do it. We are individual carriers of God's glory and corporate carriers as well. So when we worship in private, there's going to be greater glory in our corporate worship. When we are prepared before we even come together, prayed up already, I encourage you to do that, right? Be prayed up before you come. So then we're going to just have something to bring to the table, all of us, right? But we're individual carriers and corporate carriers. So our worship to God is the key to victory over our enemy, Satan. I keep going back to Brother Larry. Brother Larry, if you're hearing, I love you, brother. But Brother Larry. He says, sometimes you got to get your ugly praise on, you know. You got to get over what people think. Amen. And you get desperate for God, get down and whatever, just get down on your face before God. Amen. Cry out to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what? God's got all power, all authority. God can break every chain. God can liberate any captive. There is nothing too difficult for Him. He can do it. Hallelujah. We just got to get desperate enough, amen, to where we're going to get into that place where we are endued with such power, hallelujah, that there's no fear, that we're all those people you have to tether and say, ho, ho, ho. So then we need the power of God, but we need it coupled with wisdom, amen, where the Holy Spirit will direct us in that. But we've got to be willing, amen, like Elisha, to step out, strike the water, and say, where is the God of Elijah? Hallelujah. And he did do twice the miracles Elijah did. He had a double portion because he was obedient to step out in that. Once he received it, it wasn't enough for him just to receive the mantle. He had to walk it. Yeah. So worship brings God's glory. God's glory chases the enemy away and brings us into a place where we can hear Him more clearly and discern His will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. I want to know God's will. How about you? I want to see clearly. How about you? God is sending you and I out in the spirit of Elijah. As we worship God, God tells us where to go and what to do. Heaven comes to earth through true spiritual worshipers. God chooses to use you and I, amen, to accomplish His purposes. If you want heaven to come into your life, you must be a worshiper of God, one who is devoted to God. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Who does God show Himself strong on behalf of? Those whose hearts are loyal to Him. Do you want heaven in your heart? Then turn completely away from anything that the Lord hates or disapproves of. Turn away from anything that the Lord hates or disapproves of. You want heaven in your heart? Forsake your sin. Give your life completely to Jesus, amen? And call upon Him for cleansing. Seek the Lord, worshiping Him with all your heart. Because of Elijah's obedience, God made provision for him. And God is also teaching us how to walk by revelation. You need revelation. You need to see clearly. You need to hear clearly. You need to know the voice of God, amen, in order to be a vessel for God to use. Hallelujah. So God has to get us out of the way, but we have to be willing to cooperate with Him in this process. And amen, and deny ourselves. And amen, even that part of you that wants to lust, amen, and get into things that you shouldn't, you know, you have to deny that part of you, amen, and submit yourself to God instead and choose God's will over your will. And when you do that, God sees loyalty. He sees not one that's just faithful on Sunday morning, but someone who's faithful each day of the week, amen. And God says, that's the one I'm going to show myself strong to right there. Because I got somebody that I can trust. I got somebody that's going to honor me in the presence of others that don't know me. As concerning our salvation, 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, this salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about. When they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and His great glory afterwards. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful, not that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Ooh. Wow. We've got it good. We're not under the law. We're in grace. And God is pouring out His Spirit. And the thirsty soul will be satisfied. The one who's willing to cooperate with Him in this, hallelujah, will be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. And you'll have great joy in the Holy Spirit. You'll be an expression of God's heart in this world. Hallelujah. And God will demonstrate through you. God will manifest Himself through you. God will set captives free. God will break the yoke of the oppressor off of people's lives. Amen. He's just looking for someone whose heart is going to be loyal to Him and be willing to go. Who will go? Then said I, "Hear my Lord, send me." Isaiah. So the first step, I'm finishing, is to make sure you're right with God. Okay? That you have peace with God. And again, turn away from anything that the Lord hates or disapproves of. Give your life completely to Jesus Christ and call upon Him for cleansing. Seek the Lord, worshiping Him with your whole heart. Jesus said to them, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him." John 12:26, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also." If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Lord, we want the honor that comes from you. We want the approval that comes from you. We want to hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." God, we're here today, Lord, because we know we need you. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your cleansing, and we need your power. Lord Jesus, we know there is salvation in none other. You are the only way. And Lord, today, I ask you to touch my brothers, my sisters right now. Lord, to draw every one of us into a deeper place, a closer walk with you. God, I pray that your word will find root within our hearts, Lord, to produce change in our thoughts, our ways, our attitudes, our actions, God, that we will be a people of your presence, a people that love, Lord, your presence, hallelujah, that love you and want to walk with you and enjoy you and in fellowship with you and make you known, God, and being available for you to work through to demonstrate that you are who you say you are, that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was and is to come, the Almighty, that you are the resurrection and the life, that you are the true God in eternal life, that there is salvation in none other. Hallelujah. God, we're asking you to give us help. Strengthen each one of us by your Spirit, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.